from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster that doesn't deal in dreams. He deals in lulls so you can dream or you can rest. You could snuggle in. I guess you'd say Scoots more deals in nonsense and maybe non sequiturs if he looks that up, or maybe it's sequiturs, which is a word that doesn't get much attention because it's been nonned. But to me, I'd like to, you know, put you on a metaphorical bed of pillowy non and tuck you in. And what am I talking about? It's the person that puts the non in nonsense. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Also, if you were thinking about starting a non-based restaurant and you would like to buy that from me, nonsense, the non, and you could even put, like, it's a restaurant concept that just makes sense. Nonsense. So look me up. Sign for Sleep With Me. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. So if you're a regular listener, if you could pay attention through the credits or when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow, check out our website. Thanks. But this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead, start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, If the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, like I do need, like we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, oh, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. Hey, Mr. Bart, a lot of people work very hard to keep the show going. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster, some sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bart. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Christmas, y'all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at Sleep With Me Podcast. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Nine Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. You know, make sure you check me out on there. Check out our website. It's great ways to keep up with what's going on in the show. We're on our Patreon or on Facebook. Yeah, that's it. Let's get on with the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's keeping you awake. It could be thoughts, feelings, physical sensations. So something, you know, going on with you, keeping you up. It could be on the inside or the outside. Could be travel. Could be someone's, you know, sometimes they're snoring, that lovely person snoring nearby. Maybe you're on a work trip and I didn't realize that person, you know, whatever it is, I'm here to keep you company. I'm here to take your mind off whatever's keeping you awake. Whatever this is valid. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, filler words or filler letters. Actually, that time I just used filler letters. And bedtime stories. If you're new, this is all to kind of create a safe place and let you put aside whatever's keeping you awake. Like I said, I'm here to be your boyfriend, your boar bay, your boar cuz, your boar sib, the applicant to keep you company at this point if you're new in the deep dark night or across the room. And what I'm going to do structurally, if you're new, welcome. Give the show a few tries. It does take about 3 tries before you realize that the show is like, you have a realization that the show is, you'll get it or you won't, but give it a few tries. Don't try to actively process the show too much unless you're immediately into it. If you're kind of on the fence or skeptical, well, why wouldn't it be? There's so many things to try to put you to sleep. So many promises, So many giant or vague claims. I'm just here to keep you company as you drift off. Structurally, what to expect. Show starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep the show free and going. So we start off with the business, and then there's an intro. And the intros are a show within a show. They're about 12 minutes long, where I try to create a metaphor and explain what the podcast is, but I also try to earn your trust, to draw you in. It create a space that you say, well, I can relax in this space, to create a routine or help you create a routine where bedtime feels like less like it's looming and more like something that came out of a loom, like you say. I didn't realize that juxtaposition of words there until just now, but for me, a lot of times it does feel like bedtime's looming, or in the past, even more so. So we're going to take that word and we're going to put it through the loom. We're going to maybe the first time this has ever happened, but we're going to take you the word loom and or connotations around you. You know, no, we're not here to put you through the ringer loom. We're here to put you through the loom. We're here to take some of your raw materials. Would you mind if I borrowed some of your natural essence and raw materials? Maybe some of your, do you have any quarks or dark matter within you, loom? It feels like it. When I say loom, I could sense, especially between those O's. You know, I don't know if you knew this, but your O's are, apparently they're full of dark matter, which is maybe one of the essential building blocks of the universe. So you're really important. I was just thinking, and this will be a metaphor, because that's what I try to do with the intros, loom, is create a metaphor of what the podcast is so that bedtime, like some people listen to the intros as part of their bedtime routine, as part of their wind down. Some people fall asleep during the intros. A few people skip the intros. Some people even listen to the intros during the day for a little relief, you know, because even their day or their afternoon meeting feels like it's looming. And I know you don't mean to put the gloom, you put the loom in gloom, maybe the gloom, but you know, you know what I mean. You say, well, I'm just a collection of letters here, Scoots. And I'd say, it's right. We're projecting the meaning on you, but there's also a whole nother meaning. And maybe ideally for this metaphor, it'd be great if they're spelled the same way, but I'm not positive about that. I'm also not 100% sure what a loom is or does exactly loom. But I was thinking if we look at you and we just massage you a little bit, this is what we do in the intros. And then we send you through that. Do you remember there was a band called the B-52s? I think they had an album. It was a secret album. It was called Cosmic Loom. Oh, no, you think it was Cosmic Womb? Okay, maybe it was like a double-sided concept album. What's an album? Well, you're a young loom, aren't you? What's a double-sided mean? No worries. It was a playlist. It was a secret playlist or a collection of playlists. A playlist within a playlist. The Cosmic Loom was, of course, within the Cosmic Womb, waiting to be birthed. So then it could birth as we're putting you through that loom. Something soft and sleepy and something comforting. Maybe it's something plush for some listeners. Maybe it's just a favorite pillow. Maybe it's a favorite spot or position on the bed. Yeah, you're feeling it, loom. I can feel you. Yeah, you don't want to loom. You just want to be used in sentences, right? You maybe. Yeah, sometimes you say, there's a diversity of meanings to you. I get you. I totally get you. You're more than your meaning. Anybody ever said that to you? Did Gary Sharon ever sing to you, you're more than words and letters in my book, especially now? It's like you've become a whole different thing. It's like you're wearing a knitted level of layers. Holy crochet. Yeah, go ahead. Are you sashaying in your croquet loom? Okay, I get it. Actually, I was trying to explain to the new listeners what the podcast was. I got off track. I'll be back. Hopefully, I'll be back with you. Okay, so there's an intro, which we kind of just took a six-minute spin around the loom. The idea of the intro is it helps you wind down and makes bedtime less serious, or L to the double O to the M, where you say, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to that podcast. Or, well, it's not so bad. I got Scooch to talk my ear off. And the idea of a cosmic loom traveling across the universe is, spitting out, spewing or spitting is not what looms do. Exhale, I guess a cosmic loom would exhale. Oh boy, is that romantic or what? I didn't think I'd end up with a loom metaphor covered in crochets with pictures of croquets on there in my arms. But this is wonderful. But I got to get back to the intro. So there's an intro. Then we'll have a story, a bedtime story. This will be our episodic series. So you could listen to this one and then listen to the other ones. Happiest Holiday Shop. And most of the stories are only kind of holiday-based. I think they all take place before the holidays, so you could listen at any time. They're just stories about, people, things that loom, or cosmically, for sure. Sometimes I string together words, they don't even make sense. So you say, well, that was a little loom mix-up. That was when Scoots was running the loom, right? This is loom humor. Okay, that was the end of that one. The loom said that. So that's a structure show. Then we have some thank yous at the end. Between the intro and the story, we have some business. So that's the structure of the show. You also don't need to listen to this podcast. You can kind of listen to it because it doesn't always make a whole lot of sense. I mean, once you start, once you open up the possibilities of a loom cosmically and you really start to look at it, you say, well, I think you're stretching that a little bit. And I say, well, I got to fit it in. I got to get this whole thing through this loom. That's what I got to do. I mean, just like a yarn, you could say, I'm going to spin you a yarn later. Or maybe I'm spinning all yarn about looms and loom. And maybe I'm not getting there. But that's part of the journey is part of about, something. Because I'm here, what was I going to say? Oh, because you don't need to listen to me. There you go. I didn't even need to explain. I just had to be myself. I didn't need to explain. And in doing so, I did. There's also no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour to keep you company as you drift off. I believe you deserve a good night's sleep. And I believe, you know, I'll be here to take your mind off stuff while you cross over, or I'll hold your hand or walk at your side. You know, picture me with like a, I guess it's, you know, they say you can't wear a sloth, but you could wear a loom covered in some sort of crochet outfit around your neck. Like it kind of is hanging off me like a sloth, even cuter if that's possible. And, you know, while you drift off. So no pressure to fall asleep, no pressure to listen. You know, I'll be here all the way to the end, even if you can't fall asleep, because I've been there sleepless. And there's other listeners that are sleepless, too. That's why I'm here to the end. That's why I give it my all. That's why there's like at least 299 other episodes you could listen to if you need to. The podcast is here to help. And the reason I make it is because I know how it feels out there. You know, I know how it feels to be like a loom, and you say, well, you're just going around making everything feel ominous. And you say, well, I'm just, yeah, like we already discussed. And I say, well, let me put a crochet. What if I dress you up in a crochet outfit? You know, what if also, here's just a pitch, loom. What if we, what if I got a crochet outfit? And then we did a skit where we sang Dress You Up as My Girl from Madonna. And, I mean, I know it's a whole different meaning, but, you know, I could dress you up in crochet. And I think, think about it. Maybe I could just do it with a non-real version of you. Or maybe I could, just do it in my imagination. Okay, I could do that. I was just thinking that would be a good song to sing as I'm dressing you up. Or I could just do it in the mirror. You're right. On my own time. Okay, I got you. I hear you. I mean, I don't think there's anything less ominous than that. That's what I was just going to say. But I'm here if you're listening, if you're new or you're a regular listener. I don't know. I want you to feel a little bit less alone. You know, there's a lot of other people listening to the show right now, and they've been there too. And I know it's not easy being human. I really, truly believe you deserve to be treated with dignity and respect. And this is my little part, to keep you company, maybe to make you giggle, or at least put a strange, I guess I didn't realize I was juxtaposed. You know, I put the yucks in juxtapose sometimes. The loom's already cracking jokes. It says yucks. It was a different kind of yuck. Hilarious. Why don't you get your own podcast, Loom? Sorry, I didn't mean to be that aggro. I was just, you threw me off. Usually I don't become, quick question. Do you have a best friend? Are you looking for a best friend? Awesome. So if you're new, you give the show a few tries. See if it helps. If not, there's a lot of other podcasts out there. I think I heard from a podcaster who makes a podcast called Sleepy. And he does some readings in a monotone voice, a little bit different than Sleep With Me, but similar in some sense. You could check that out. There's the LibriVox. There's plenty of other options. But yeah, that's a couple other things. But yeah, give the show a few tries. I hope it helps you, because I truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. I work very hard and I strive. And thank you so much for coming by. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, hey everybody, welcome to our ongoing holiday, totally episodic and modular series. 100, this is the most episodic we've ever done since the last time I made that claim. But these episodes are so episodic that this one, it's probably episode 4, but it really is the part of a prequel before the other 3 episodes. But it really doesn't reveal anything you would have needed to know in the other 3. That's what makes it episodic, maybe, or modular. It's more of an ongoing, it was only 4 episodes, but it was ongoing. For their lives, the characters, their lives, and they'll actually will learn their names finally. I don't know if anybody's been asking, but because the whole series is concluded before an episode came out, but you'll finally learn the main characters' names. Well, they weren't the main characters, but this episode, spoiler, they are. I may have given you too much information already, but don't worry, it'll take a while to get there. It'll be slow going. And it'll be sleepy. But this is our holiday series, Happiest Holiday Shop, a tale of a holiday shop that is named the Happiest Holiday Shop, and the tale of the customers and the visitors to the shop, and just their stories. So that's a little bit about this series, and I think that's all you need to know. It's a holiday season series. It's just more about the holiday series than any particular, or season, you know, season than any particular holiday. The gift-giving part of it, of those traditions. So here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Happiest Holiday Shop. Welcome to the Happiest Holiday Shop. I'm your narrator. You could call me Burl, but that, you know, if you want to, but that's just because of an upcoming character name. And I don't know if you remember the tale of Ebenezer Scrooge or the different portrayals in film and television of Ebenezer Scrooge. Maybe an actor springs to mind. But for now, as the actor is in the foreground, I want you to take a look at the background, in particular where Ebenezer Scrooge and the other young person whose name escapes me worked at. I want to say Tom Hardy, but I don't think, I wonder, Tom Hardy wouldn't be a good Scrooge. More of the, maybe a character in Oliver, I think, would be better for Tom Hardy. So if Tom Hardy wanted to play Ebenezer Scrooge, or I'm still buying myself time to remember the other character, but we're not talking about the characters in Scrooge. We're talking about an office normally portrayed as stark and cold, there for business, the business, I guess, of lending money, I think, formal, sparse. And it's there our tale starts, in a modern version of that sparse place, a place that's a little bit cold. And that's where Gene works, who we concentrate on, working away at a desk. Behind Gene, someone older named Ives, and you could see a resemblance in their faces, intergenerational, but they're related, it's clear. And this office is also a place where money is lended and money is invested. It's a complex financial business. We'll learn more about it, expository dialogue, coming up, one of your favorite features of this program. But it's and again, I didn't get all the producer of this podcast, didn't give me, but this is a complicated family trust that lends money out, and there's a couple of extra quirks to this business. A few things you should know, even though the general gist of the business is on me, is that every weekday, every workday, this shop is open or this business is open. Banking holidays excluded. Every day they must make a loan. You see, this business was started years ago by a wiser family member, a few generations ago. And they decided that this would be one of the rules of the family trust, and lots of family members have benefited from this. They rely on the money generated by these loans, and it's just an interesting idea that the benefactor had to say. If the money, if a loan isn't made every day, if all the money goes away, I think that was the exact thing. And they said, is there rhyming allowed in wills and trusts? And the benefactor probably would have had a chuckle at that. And Gene, who's working in the shop with Ives from the previous generation, Gene kind of drew the short stick. Gene's his siblings and cousins. No one else wanted to work with Ives, who was not exactly Ebenezer Scrooge. But it's not exactly fun, and it actually was maybe an avoidance by the other relatives, because they said, well, this is a lot of pressure. Everyone counts on this. And the idea of making a loan every single day within certain parameters aren't super important, you know, it just can't be $1. And it has to have a likelihood of getting paid because everyone else counts on it. So you have to make good choices. But also based on the values of the family and the benefactors that, hey, we want to give other people a chance, raise up other people and other voices and other ideas. What we also want is, you know, sensible business ideas. Ives has been doing it for a long, long time. And Gene's kind of the only family option. Keep it in the family, they say, I guess. Trying to groom Gene to take over. Now, Gene, you may not relate. Gene's pretty high-wired, overthinking. So not only is the idea that the family members rely on this, but the idea that a loan has to go out every day. Gene's good with numbers and risk, but maybe too good at assessing risk and looking at risk and thinking of these things. And Ives is kind of the semi-optimistic counterbalance and saying, no, we have to make a deal today. Which is the risk we're willing to take, Gene? So, you know, Gene was a bit of a worrier, I think, if you'd say that. But good, but not enjoying, not exactly enjoying the job, but obliged to it. And today was a big day for Ives, was going to leave the shop. They were both there. It was the start of the business day as we're watching them working at their desks. Ives, you know, thinking about moving on and stopping working. Today's Gene's first day in charge. And there's a lot. Well, I'll let you listen in. Well, Gene, today's appointments look pretty good. Now, do yourself a favor. Don't wait until the last appointment. I'm looking at these incoming things, and I've looked at some of the numbers. Don't wait till the last person to make a loan. That's my one tip, especially for today. You know, you could, if there's two things that look good, Gene, you could always make a second loan. There's no rule against that. Or have them come back, you know, next week after the holiday. It's better to have two good prospects than none at all, especially in this situation. And I see you left your last hour open, so you have time to call someone back. But that's a good idea. But Ives, the default rate, we have to keep it within the parameters. I can't just give out a loan willy-nilly. And it's been inching up. I've been running the numbers and okay, Gene. I know. It's going up bit by bit, and we have to be a little shrewder, I guess. But again, it's part of the system in place. the money must go out. And yeah, so you have to make a good choice. It's not easy. And I know the next 8 to 12 month outlook is not great, but just make sure you get the loan done, Gene. It's that simple. Don't overthink it. You know, maybe listen to your guts, or maybe an idea they say, well, I'd spend my money there. You know, but balance that with the numbers. Use the numbers, Gene. Use what you're good at. But also, I've got to go. It's, it's close of business today. And then the holiday, and then I'll see you next week. But there's no perfect or right time. You know, it's just the most likely. You understand, Gene. Well, I'm just looking at the numbers. I guess I'm not seeing him. Okay, Gene, don't wait. There's no 100% right. Right, but there is 100% wrong. I'm seeing a couple of these appointments. Okay, well, have yourself a good day and just make it, maybe my finger keeps tapping what I feel in the middle of the day would be a wonderful opportunity because I set these appointments specifically for you. Now I'm off. Enjoy the holiday after you get this done. You know, if you get it done early, like right around this time here, lunchtime, you know, you could take the rest of the day off even once you make the loan. Cancel the rest of the appointments. Have them come back next time. Enjoy yourself. It's gonna, Gene. You're gonna do great. I know you, Gene. I know. I get it. But you're gonna do great. I'll see you. And I believe me, I'll be enjoying. As soon as I walk out this door, I'm going to forget about this. And I'm gonna have a holiday. So I'll see you soon, Gene. Okay, I'll see you. And as Ives left, Gene started pacing. But there was also a hopeful look in Gene's eyes, studying the day's appointments. And then a montage began within this talking of Gene greeting people at the door, the bell jingling. Still a wooden door with glass, even though the office was somewhat modern. Everybody else that worked there and support was off, but they always had this small business family feel. And the first visitor was a chef, and the chef was a big personality and knew quickly that they knew better than Gene. They knew better than Ives. They knew better than the numbers. They knew Bill Brilliance would carry the business. And so that, like, they were a J to the E to the R to the K. Even to Gene, even outside the door, Gene saw them huffing and puffing at someone. And so that was a no. And the next was an inventor. No lab coat, but clearly an inventor. With a vague idea for an improvement on a modern day, you know, inconvenience. And the inventor had an idea for adding bubbles to something to make it more effective or convenient. And Gene was interested in asking more and more questions, but the more questions that were asked, clearly the inventor had an idea, but Gene said, you have an idea, but not a product, not a market. You don't have a plan. You have a great idea, but I can't support just the idea. And the inventor said, well, if I get this or I need this, it'll help me. And then Gene said, no. You know, you need to sweat a little bit more. This was true advice that Gene was giving. You know, maybe some more late nights to get the idea into the product stage. You know, we have to have some sort of MVP at least, some sort of prototype. Otherwise, we'll be just giving you ideas. I can't fund daydreaming, I guess was Gene's thing. And Gene offered a solution. Just sit down. Who is it for? What is it going to do? We know what it's going to solve and how bubbles would solve that. Maybe look for a partner, but see if you could bring something back and an idea of how much the part. You know, Gene was very, and the inventor was a little bit flustered and went off. And the next was a scuba diver with an idea for, you know, treasure adventures and all of these things. And again, Gene was very swept up, and this seemed like a good idea. And it had a little bit better of an idea because it said, well, you know, this is 1%, you know, this is these kind of expensive experiences people want to have. And Gene got that concept that, yeah, of course, yeah, people want to have these adventures. But what about this? What about the underwriting type stuff? What about the boats? What about the total cost? Gene said, sure, people will pay anything for experiences, but will they pay anything? The scuba diver didn't have a kind of grasp at what it would cost or what it should cost. And Gene said, you don't even know how much, if you're going to have champagne, dive site, and how realistic is the experience? Is it a front-loaded experience? Is it a theme park experience or is it a real one? And Gene said, you're close. Do more research. Pretend you're a customer and go on some of these experiences. But you're close. The next person, I guess, was a combination inventor, entrepreneur. And they pitched at Gene on the idea. Those are the people that live in areas with tech hubs. You may see that the tech companies will have buses for their employees, and that the buses will take the employees from the area they live all the way to work, so they can work while they commute, or even as just an employment benefit. They say, we get to take a nice luxury bus, and they have gyms at work. And this person said, why not mobile gyms? You know, what if they could work out? What if you could work out on your commute, not just tech employees, anybody, anywhere with a commute, an hour, the inventor said, the marketer said, it's plenty of time to work out. And we could stop and we could have, and then, because he said, I realize the shower part, and I'm trying to figure that out, believe me. I'm trying to figure out, should we do a luxury bus? Or should we go to a gym where they could shower? So that is a piece that's missing, the inventor admitted. And Gene said, well, have you ever worked out in a movie? Have you tried this at all? And this person was very worried. They said, of course, like they were pumping iron, like doing bicep curls during the assessment, I think for dramatic purposes. But there was something about this idea that had Gene underlying things, but still, he said, I'd have to see it in action. And they said, well, I don't have the invention. He said, well, what about in your car? You know, take the, Gene said, I need a working model. But you're close, maybe. Maybe not, though. And then the person said, well, this is how much people spend on gym memberships every year. And Gene said, well, would you be selling the customization or the experience? Because maybe the tech companies would just copy your idea. So we would have to decide if you're selling the workout buses to the, you know, and the person didn't really answer. So Gene said, maybe, I don't know. Let me think about it. But this one had good potential. Then it was a food lover, who loved food and loved eating experiences and wanted to open a restaurant based on their love of food. But Gene said, do you cook at all? And they said, no, I just eat out. I love eating out. I'm a great taste. I think I could taste make. I like tasting and I want to be a taste maker. And then Gene said, well, do you know a chef? And they said, no, but I have this idea for blindfolded eating would be the concept for my restaurant. And I would, it would be a, what do you call that? I'd kind of make it like a playlist of food, of tasting experiences. And Gene says, it sounds more like a pop-up shop to me, because what is the repeatability of that? And the cost, Gene said, well, it almost sounds like something you could just call up some restaurants and do on your own. But I don't know about the long-term viability. And there was a toy maker who handmade toys. And Gene said, okay, well, I think you should just keep at it. If you're hand-making toys, I'm not sure we could bring that to scale. I think you should just keep making them and selling them in your spare time. Gene gave some very specific tips. There was a restaurant owner who already owned a restaurant and opened up another one. And Gene kind of wanted to crunch the numbers at the current restaurant. And why do you want to open another one? I'm tired of that concept. And Gene said, well, that's not the best sign, but maybe we can make these numbers work. So it was another close, but there's something about Gene. Gene said, well, let me take a look at things while you're gone. Yeah, I'm not sure. I have another appointment. Then it was a podcaster. Gene said, okay, bye, bye. Gene said, no podcasts. And the podcaster said, we didn't even hear about my idea. It's a podcast to put people to sleep. And Gene said, well, you're better off without debt load. I'll just be straight honest with you. You'll be much happier to push through without a debt load or investors to answer to in the end. And your product will be better. And it sent the podcaster on its way. Now, Gene had two more appointments, and the last appointment seemed really good. And the next appointment was more of like a store purchase. So Gene was kind of like, okay, I think I have a good feeling about this last appointment. This next one, I would get through it. And then the door opened, and on the other side of the door was Issa. And there was something about the way Issa opened the door, kindness, a gentleness, but a fierce gentleness, that caught Gene's eye. It also made Gene say, whoa, whoa, risk assessment here. Maybe even a risk to the palpitations in my chest, and I need to focus on the numbers. And then the phone rang, and it was the next appointment canceling. And Gene said, oh, you're canceling. Okay, I'll see you next week. And Issa sat down in front of Gene's desk and said, oh, hello, looks like I'm your last appointment for the day before the holidays. And Gene tried to maintain the demeanor. You probably couldn't tell in the montage because it was without dialogue mostly. But Gene said, so he said, let's see here. Looks like you want to open a store and you're looking to buy the building in particular. Well, no, just the facade is really what's important, and the entryway that comes with the building, of course. So the building comes with it. Well, the purchase price seems pretty high for just a facade, but even for a building in this, it is right around the corner. Is there something historical? Well, yeah, there's some, historical would be almost accurate. There's not necessarily, this is a facade that a lot of people are going to be interested in. But yeah, it's something of great value. Like historical value or personal value, what do you mean? It'll make the difference. It's hard to describe to you, Gene. Okay, well, so you're going to open a seasonal shop there. Yes, it's a holiday shop, believe it or not. And what are you going to be selling there? Oh, one-of-a-kind gifts for holiday gift givers. Okay, so it's a little bit high, the market price, and you're going to have a seasonal shop with just handmade gifts. Yes, yeah, that sounds pretty correct. I mean, a little bit generic, but well, I'm just wondering, like in the off season, how are you going to generate the revenue to cover the building costs and the servicing costs? And it doesn't look like you're going to be able to do a volume business. Is it going to be in what were the margins? I'm not super familiar with. I mean, I've just talked to a toy maker, but is it going to be price of sales? Like how, I can't seem to make this work. You know what I mean? Oh, it'll be in volume, Gene. It'll be the volume, kind of a joy volume. But what about the real estate? The prices? Well, Gene, the store's going to be mission driven. Oh, so it's like more, is this more of a non-profit? Like, I mean, because by these numbers, it's not profitability is, I'm more worried about solvency right now. Well, gee, why don't I show you? It's just right, like you said, right around the corner. Yeah, I mean, listen, you seem terribly nice, and you definitely seem, I could see it in your face, you're focused, and like you said, mission-driven, in that the shop facade, it has meaning to you, but I don't see how I could, I just don't see how we're going to make it work, not just numbers-wise. You know, it would just add pressure. I don't think you'd enjoy it then. There would be a lot of pressure on you. And then it would, like, take away from your mission. It would really drag on your mission. And, to be honest, I got to get something done by the end of the day today. So I'm afraid, like, I could get back to you. I could take a couple looks at it when I have a little bit clearer of a head. Well, Gene, your last appointment canceled. It's only like 3:10 p.m. If you have to have things done by, 5 p.m., 4:50 p.m.? Yeah. So you'll have plenty of time to finish up. If I could just please have the time I'm entitled to. And, you know, I have to insist that in the tradition of this business, aren't you required to do your due diligence in the time I have to really look deeper beyond the numbers? Isn't that part of your job? It is. It's just like with the holiday coming, this is like I'll be honest, this is my first day in charge of the shop. And I have to, you probably know that because you're putting this, I have to send money out, but it has to fit within, it's just, I can't make this work. Even Ives would say this, there's other people I'm also entitled to do my due diligence for, I guess is what I'm saying to you. Oh, yeah, like the other people, who else other than the people that have come today? Well, my family, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins. Yeah, no, I understand it, but part of your due diligence is giving me till 4 p.m., so it's just a short walk away. Maybe it'll clear your head in one of these other things on the list. If it doesn't work for me, I can accept that, as long as they give me the time and the attention I'm entitled to. Yeah, okay, it'll lower the pressure, and with lower pressure, you'll make a better decision. Don't you find that to be true, Gene? Yeah, I mean, that does, you're right, high-pressure decision-making doesn't really work out well. Okay, well, let's go. And so Gene and Issa started walking across town. And as they walked, they chatted. So what kind of gifts specifically are you going to have in your shop? Your themed gifts or toys or adult gifts, kids' gifts? Well, Gene, that's interesting. Tell me about how familiar are you with gift giving and receiving? Like when you think about gifts, what does it trigger for you? Well, yeah, I got a lifetime experience of giving and receiving gifts, I guess. Okay, but this is a no judgment zone. When I talk about gifts, is there something strong? Is it stronger for giving or receiving a gift? No shame zone. I mean, I guess get not getting the gift. I guess it's more of like the what I remember is like the waiting to get a gift, or the playing with the gift afterwards, and then kind of forgetting. I mean, is that selfish? Like forgetting where it came from? No. Tell me more. What are you playing with when you say that? Well, this one, I always remember this delivery van I got. It was kind of plain. It was a Fisher-Price delivery van, and you could open. It came with two delivery characters, and you could open up the back. You could take it off, and the wheels always worked good, and I could just play with it, and I didn't always just deliver things. I had adventures, and I had to be a camper. I had to be, you know, team, you know, for teams, world savers, you know, stuff like that. I just played with it a lot. And I always, I could feel it. I could feel the smoothness of the wheels. But if I'm honest, I don't even know if it came from someone in my family or Klaus or what. Oh, that's very good, Gene. That's very good. Yeah, there's a lot of levels. Here's the shop here. And they stood outside, a closed-up shop, but outside was a green awning, a little bit rain and dust faded awning, and a giant, giant window. And Gene kind of tried to look in, but it was mostly covered in soap, so you couldn't see inside. But you could see like a display area just behind the window. Mostly empty with a couple of boxes and even an old Christmas tree was there. And Issa put Issa's hand, and Issa's hand was on the knob of the door. And said, yeah, it's going to need some work, but this is the facade. And then Gene started to notice the tile work and the brickwork. And it was a beautiful facade with a lot of details. Wait, are those giant, those pine cones in the tile up there? They are. That's a great observation, Gene. And as we were talking about gift giving, you were talking about the anticipation, the wrapping. That's kind of like the facade a little bit at first from far away. And then the window and wondering what's on the other side of the window, the anticipation is a key part of gift-giving. And Issa moved the doorknob a little bit, tense to the forearm, but didn't go to open it. The waiting to cross the threshold, Gene. But before crossing over, there's also that moment of tension, like, what did you want when they were researching it? Are you going to get what you wanted? Did you know what they wanted? Are you going to be surprised? You know, the good gift givers are listeners or have the courage to make a mistake in the gift giving. They're adventurers, but it's also, do you really know you? Are you brave enough to say, this is what I want and not get it? And all that's wrapped up in that moment. You talked about that drawn out moment of wondering if the gift is coming, then seeing the gift and it being closer. You know, there's a lot of deeper needs there. And there's another side of it. And Issa turned the knob and opened the door just to touch. There's this magic there, a magical joy. It's like a chance. If you choose to actively participate in the gift-giving ritual, to be a part of it and experience it, to savor each moment and stage of it, there's a chance to go deeper into that relationship, whomever the relationship is with, to peer deeper, to probe deeper, to journey deeper, Gene. To take another level for the giver or the receiver, but it's also a wrought thing. There's a lot of shoulds, like you even anticipated. There could be some shaming in there. The gift, or it could be just give them what they want, click and ship and send it off. And the marketing goes that it's the joy of giving. But I don't necessarily agree with that, or the joy of receiving. It's a ritual. At least this is my theory, a theory behind the mission of the shop, as I was telling you. It's a path you walk of gift finding, of gift giving. What will happen? Or of gift getting, of actively receiving the gift in a fullness, I guess. I realize I'm building it up, but you know, what you're wondering is the gift gonna, is the reaction going to be the same? And what if that person that gave you the truck was deeper in playing with the truck with you instead of maybe they were passively enjoying you but playing with it, but they never talked to you about it? It doesn't sound like Yeah, I mean, that's interesting, but that also sounds like a lot of pressure and a lot of work. You know, it's like, you know, and I'm not sure about all that risk, like an investment in a gift when you don't necessarily need to invest. But I can see, well, let's cross over this threshold. Let's go in the shop and see. As the buildup is released and Issa started to pull the door open, you know, you could remember the happy waiting, but then you're there and it's open and you cross over the threshold and you step in, I mean, into the store. Come on in. What will I get? And sometimes it is magical and sometimes it isn't. Yeah, I get, like, and Gene stepped into the store, and it was, like, a pretty run-of-the-mill, dusty wooden floors, an empty set of display cases, some lamps, a desk with an old-fashioned cash register. And this is the hard part of the gift to Gene, when it first opens. How do you feel? Like, isn't it strange that build up? And then, yeah, this is a nice shop. It's got a lot of old features, some old fixtures. I like the ceilings. This is nice. But it's also like a momentary thrill, like your build up in salesmanship. It's a bit like the build up in salesmanship of, it's like tantalizing, but then it's gone. And I guess you're saying I remember the tantalizing parts, but not so much after the crossing of the threshold. Like after the spell is broken, I guess is what I'm saying. Oh, I like that description, but is this spell broken? Or is it calling you deeper in? You have a look around. Do some diligence. We've got time. And Gene started to walk around the shop, look in the display cases, kind of starting to assess the actual interior value. Well, all these fixtures come with the purchase, huh? Yes, they do. They do. And the awning and the I guess the facade, like you're saying. Yeah, it's all part of, you know, part of gift giving is the suspension of disbelief on both sides, I guess. That's where the magic of gift giving starts. But there's also the smells and the warmth and the other memories piled on top of it. There's a mood setting. So that's what we'll be going with the shop is when you cross over. I guess it's just me, though. Like, I always say we because I think of the customers as part of it. Yeah, but the smells and the thing in the whole shop will be to guide them so their belief is, their disbelief is suspended or their belief suspended or they believe they're in now, here in the shop, in a world of gift-giving, of openness. Wait a second. Gene started walking into another room. Is this snow on the floor? He's going into that room. Is that real or is this part of the design of the shop? And Gene started following like what seemed like a dusting of snow. And as Gene crossed over into another room off to the side of the shop, Gene was looking down and the snow got thicker until the floor was covered with it and it was a slight rise. And it was fresh snow. It started crunching under Gene's feet. And then Gene looked up, and it was a kind of white plain of snow. And Issa was right at Gene's side. But Gene kept walking. Something was drawing Gene along, step by step. Where are we going? Where am I going? Well, Gene, are you familiar with reindeer bells at all? Are those like jingle bells? kind of. Yeah, I guess they're bells that jingle. We're going to go help out with some bells. Wait, what? oh, is this some experiential thing? Like, is this an experiential shop? You could have just told me that. I don't understand how you're, well, just come along. It's just up this hill. See down there? There's a set of, are those stables and, is that a blacksmith shop? I see a forge. Yeah, and there's a leathersmith there. And out back behind the stables, you see that giant range. That's the reindeer are running around and jumping there. And there's some other work buildings. And right down here, we're going to follow this path. That's the bell tuner and the bell tuner's workshop. Wait, a belt? I've never heard of a bell tuner. You don't do bell tuner. Well, they could be a bellsmith or there's other tune. Right through this door, Gene. Once a year, the bells for the holiday reindeer, for Roberta Claus's reindeer, they're prepared, and today it just happens to be that day. And they get tuned. It's a yearly ritual. They get cleaned and maintained, because between the holidays, you'll see. And they walked into this workshop, and out on one workbench was tarnished what looked like four-leaf clovers, flat pieces of metal. And they set to work with Issa's patience, showing Jean how to use the different cleaners to take the tarnish off of, rubbing and then rinsing. They went to work on this flat tarnished metal, and quickly what started to sparkle was not just a silver or gold, but shades of silver and gold, shades of metallic brilliance. They were even polishing a little bit. They placed these flat pieces of metal on, nice, soft cotton blankets. And even Jean was trying to rub thumbprints off. And looking at the reflections and looking at the sparkling of the lights, buffing. Jean couldn't believe all the different colors. It's just one, isn't just silver and gold, but it's not. And then they moved on to another workbench, which was a big basin full of, that had been soaking different bits of metal, different little spheres of metal. And then there was a dry basin with other spheres, like some seeds and some clay. And they just needed to be rubbed off. Some had accumulated dust or gunk and resins of different sizes, some not even perfect spheres. And they cleaned those off and set them to dry. And even those had their own wonderful colors and shapes and textures and richness. Sizes and weights. Even Jean was talking about the mass and showing the mass of a seed versus the mass of a piece of metal, dense, much denser. And then they watched, and the blacksmith and the bell tuner presumably came in, and they went to work shaping the bells back into shape listening and tuning the bells. And then the leathersmith came with the harnesses, and they started working. And the whole time, Jean and Issa were just sitting there watching craftsmanship of all different layers working together. And then Issa turned to Jean and said, "It's time." And Jean said, "For what?" And then Jean was so shaken for a second. We said, "What time is it?" And he said, "Don't worry, I'll have you back in plenty of time for the rest of your day. It's time for the ceremony." And the sun had just started to set. And Jean said, "You'll see." And they went into a square at the center of this stables and farm or whatever it was. And there was a crowd gathered. There was elves, and there were snow beings. There was humans, and there was sentient trees. And even there was Roberta Claus in all her holiday splendor. And everyone was chatting and drinking nog and saying hello. And then the point in time seemed there was just a ringing of a little bell. And then the reindeer came out of the stables, and everyone fell to a hush. And each reindeer was covered in a couple of wool blankets, especially over their reins, I guess you'd say, the reins of the reindeer, or their harnesses. And they came out, and everyone was watching, and everyone was smiling and looking at one another. And he said, this is the kind of the ceremony they used to kick off the holiday season. This is one of the more important the happiest holiday legends begin. This is their ceremony. This is their ritual. And Gene kind of started to get it. They were all waiting. And Roberta Claus said a few words, kind of acknowledging the hard work of everyone. In the spirit of the season and the ringing of bells and the subtle reminders, and it's something, you know, metaphorically, the ringing in our hearts, yeah, you know, the whole nine yards. And Issa said, this is special because this is Roberta Claus's first bell ceremony. The unveiling of the bells, they call it. It's a big deal. And then everyone was chattering a little bit again and clapping and wiping tears from their eyes, their love of Roberta Claus, their love of this ceremony with some pomp and circumstance, but on a much more grounded plane. And then the bell tuner and a few other people stood at the sides of all of the reindeer. And I couldn't pick them out, you know, their nostrils, steam coming out because of the cold air. And the bell tuner counted down 5, 4, nodding with your 3, 2, 1. And with a one, not super smooth motion, but a cool motion, the blankets were pulled off of the backs of the reindeer. And at first, a few reindeers kind of just shook in that natural animal motion, and the bells jingled, and people were already twittering with delight. And then the reindeer started to realize they were the center of attention, and that, and even that the sounds of the bells brought them joy, and they started prancing and dancing and moving around. And the lights of the moon and the stars and everything was reflected off of those golds and those silvers and those grays and those blues. And the different sizes of the bells, Gene started to notice, and how many layers of sound and jingling were coming. And Gene was like, there's no holiday special about this. No one's seen. And Issa said, patted Gene and said, they care. They care here. This is their thing. Maybe it's not for, and Gene nodded. Enjoyed the sound as the reindeer got more caught up in the moment. They started jumping the fences and going out into the range. A couple of them even starting to fly. And the sound went more and more distant, but still had all of these layers. Almost like if someone with the most gorgeous head of hair shook their head. Like that's what it sounded like. Say, my goodness. When they shake their head, it makes me tremble. That's what the sounds of these distant bells did to Gene and to Issa and every person standing there. And then the crowd kind of started to go off as the sounds carried further and further away, and the night chill started to descend. And Issa said, we better get going, and they started back the way they came. And they eventually went in back through the shop somehow. And the snow lessened until they were back on the hardwood floor. And they stood there in the empty store, speechless for a while, you know, not knowing what to say. Gene kind of still hearing a cacophony of bells out in the distance, and just kind of savoring the moment. And then Gene looked at Issa and said, I think I get it. I think I understand what you're trying to show me, what you're trying to tell me. I understand the mission of the shop. Thank you. Thank you for giving me that experience. You want everyone to have that experience in some sense, huh? And Gene said, well, kind of. It's different for every person, right? For you, you needed to get outside of yourself, I think. I think it was good for you. And maybe for something else, it's something different. And then Gene said, do you mind if I look at the facade and the threshold? And Gene kind of studied it and studied the shop and nodded and walked around. And he says, so what do you think? It's pretty special, huh? And Gene said, magical. And he said, well, it's not going to be up for long. I'm not the only one who realizes the potential here. And Gene said, well, I think I want to be a part of this. And Issa said, great, let's get back to your, you know, let's get back there for something. And Gene said, no, I don't want to loan you the money. I don't want to loan you my family's money. I'd like to work here, maybe invest my money here. I know it's presumptuous of me to offer it to be your partner, but I could offer to be, you know, my whatever you're comfortable with. I believe in your mission now, and I believe in selfishly what it does for me. You're right. This could draw me into other people. It could help me to relate to them and to help them. And Issa patted Jean's arm and said, that's great. I think we could figure something out. But in that case, you still have to get back to your shop to kind of loan out the money to someone else. And Jean said, well, maybe, yeah, let me walk back and think about it. You're right, I got other family duties to, maybe I could meet you back here. Maybe we could. And Gene said, "Yeah, after the holidays, so we'll put a deposit down, so we'll have a first bid, and then after the holiday, we could hammer something out. I think I'd be happy to have you as a partner." And then they stood there for a moment longer, and I don't know if he said he'd seen something in Gene all along, or it was just now that. Because Gene had finally become vulnerable. Or maybe it was that moment where Gene was talking about playing with the truck that they both kind of saw each other in a jingly-jangly kind of light, but also in this shared mission light. And the evening light fell as Gene went back to the shop. Issa came along, and Gene signed off on a loan. And Gene did Gene's due diligence, and there was one happy scuba dive. I don't know if it was one happy scuba diver or a happy exercise truck creator, but someone was also happy. And that was how, you know, maybe the happiest holiday shop got its start, or one phase of its beginning. I hope you're having a wonderful season and that you could be there for some moments in the season. It's not easy always to be there all of the time. Maybe you need some breaks away, like tonight with me, taking the journey with Gene and being distracted and carried away. Those are places you could go to for a little break. Maybe see if you could lean in for a few minutes and say, well, what am I seeing here in this world of these holiday traditions? Is there anything that's feeding me and I'm feeding it? I don't know. But I know that I can, knowing your ears are there, receiving this feeds me. So I really appreciate it. And I hope you're resting and feeling warm And like there is this magical threshold out there sometimes. Good night. All right. I want to thank everybody who reviewed the show over on Apple Podcast. B Dings from Canada said, lifesaver. Just give her this podcast on Spotify when I was fiddling with my phone one sleepless night. My partner was away and I couldn't get to sleep and I had a hard time. I have a hard time sleeping most nights, but this one was rough. I had recently discovered that putting out a podcast was comforting, but I had yet to discover podcasts specifically for sleep. I tried a different sleep podcast, didn't work. Tried Sleep With Me and it did. And I use it at least 3 times a week, almost always works. I love the On Location episodes and Nuns in Space. Can't contribute financially, but you spread the word. Love to see some PJ pants. Thanks, B-Dings. Also, Kraft Double J C D T Double H from Canada says, fantastic to fall asleep through, too. Never been able to make it through a whole episode. I always fall asleep. Olive Cat, you know what I love? Olive. I love it. I love it. Olive Cat. Amazingly perfect. Amazingly perfect. Thank you, Scooter. This one, let's see. This is one where somebody listened to it a few times, and this is an honest review. It's from Fort Cake Double H F D S Goo, and they say from CRAP to gold. So at first, I honestly thought this was the dumbest double to the C to P to the A to the R to the C I'd ever heard. But now it's solid gold. Never fallen so asleep so quick in my life, and I stay asleep. Probably best thing to happen to my iPhone since the iPhone. And I really appreciate your honesty, because it is. It takes 2 or 3 times. Sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes it takes hearing it once, loathing it, and then months later coming back. And I want, like, so many people do have a harsh reaction sometimes. I'm glad you were able to come back and be honest about the change in mind. I really appreciate it, F-Cake. Ziania said, works. If you ever have trouble falling asleep, I put this on. I love the Trader Joe's. I scrolled back, realized he had some Fearless Flyers in there. I fell asleep when he got to the mango shaving cream. I think that's what it was, but I hope he does more. Thank you. And I got all Z's from the Little Peanut. This podcast puts me to sleep, the Little Peanut said. Cheesy Gee says, intros is all I needed. That's my favorite. Worked every time. I'm so surprised. Thank you. RH20 from Ireland said, this podcast worked like a charm. It helps me sleep so much. I was recommended to family and friends, but I couldn't even explain it. Plus, I fell asleep so fast. So I just want to thank everybody who reviewed the show over on Apple Podcasts. You can do it in Apple Podcasts on your phone or on iTunes on your desktop. You can also say yes or no if you feel like a review is effective. If you listen to this and you could take the time to do so, it feels like no one's done it in a while. So a lot of our most recommended reviews are from like 2014. So if you could check out some of the newer reviews and say, hey, this review was accurate or whatever, it'd be a huge help just for people like shifting through the reviews and saying, is this podcast going to help me or not? Or what's the honest verdict on it? It'd be a huge help. And those of you that do review the show, it's a huge help. Just for people finding the show and saying, what is this? And is it worth my time? Especially the honest ones that say, hey, it took a few tries, this is a different thing. But Scoots is here to help if it works. So thank you for that. Sleep With Me is a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the amazing shows. We had 3 fall launches, season three of Within the Wires, Dream Boy, Adventures in New America. There's going to be more launches by the time you're hearing this. So keep your eyes on nightvalepresents.com for all the amazing shows. We're also a member of PRX, which does a lot of amazing work and also supports a lot of amazing podcasts. You can find out more at prx.org. And Sleep With Me is listener-supported. The reason it exists and comes to you across the deep, dark night for free is because a lot of hard work goes into the show, and that hard work is supported by listeners who support the show on Patreon, through other means, listeners who directly support the sponsors or spread the word about the sponsors and let the sponsors know their message is being heard. And Sleeping Me Gross by people who spread the word. So I really, really, I'm literally relying on all of you, and I'm very thankful for all of you that go out of your way to support the show. And that's why I'm always here to tuck you in, right? I'm here all the way to the end, like I always say. And, like a butterfly in the sky, it's okay to sigh twice a sigh. Because I'm here, you could queue up a couple more episodes if you need it, but let me tuck you in. You're doing a great job. It's not easy being human, I know. So maybe sigh and then breathe out. Good night. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody.